A Guiding Principle podcast with David DeAngelis, recorded on 25th of March, 2010.
Hi and welcome. It's really good to be here and to be talking about the thing that is most important, most amazing of all, life. This incredible weave of complexity and simplicity and all the different spectrums of energy and existence that somehow forms itself into the thing we call life. And I want to start with a question, or really it's a generic question that I get asked a lot, and people sending me emails and people that are responding to these communications, these meetings, these talks, and also people that are connecting with the book. And this question is really, well, let me just get straight to the question rather than dodging around it. And the question goes like this. It's like, life isn't going my way. You know, my life absolutely isn't what I want. You know, how do I make my life do what I want? You know, this seems to be a fundamental for us all. You know, we come into this world and we seem to inhabit these minds and bodies. And they seem to be who we are. And there seems to be an imperative for us to create the life, our lives. We have to somehow create our lives. And of course, the addendum to this question, which is often added, is that, you know, well, David, you're a shaman, you've studied shamanism, you know about energy, you've delved and explored the realms of energetic work, the realms of the so-called spirit, and surely with what you have studied over the many years that you studied this, surely you must be able to give us something that tells us how we can control energy, how we can know how to manipulate life to give us what we most want, how to get the things delivered to us, how to manifest the things that we most want in this life. Surely, with all of the things that you've studied and you've come across on your journeys, surely you must be able to impart that to us. And really, what's interesting is that if you'd asked me that question maybe even just 2 years ago, I would have said to you, yes, there are ways and means and methodologies and different things that you can do in order to make this happen or stop something happening. But really, what I've fundamentally come to see is the wondrous simplicity of life, really. You know, in all its complexity, all the appearance of its complexity, the underpinning of that, and the lifeblood of that immense complexity of the universe unfolding and unwinding, and, you know, the solar systems and the galaxies and all of the planets and these oceans and the clouds and all of those things, and the human brain and the synapses firing and the mind manifesting itself and thoughts arising. All of those things are life going the way it goes. And really, what I've come to see, getting back to the point, is that life actually never moves anywhere accept the way it goes. Well, life never goes anywhere except where it goes. And that might seem like a kind of trick answer or a cheat kind of question response to a very deep and often painful question. And this kind of suffering and agitation and anxiety that arise as a result of these lives, our lives, not doing what we want. These lives that somehow we believe contain a promise, you know, a promise that we have to fulfill as these separate entities, as these people that are, these creatures that are here, placed here. And this vast, this huge vista of stuff, of life, the stuff of life, is something that we have to, by our own volition, shape and create. And even the very popular thing that we are creators, we are the creators of our lives. Really what I've come to see, and really I believe now what was always being shown to me and always the case, it's not something that's new. And in fact, everybody always sees this. Every experience is awash, is saturated with this very truth that we are not the, how can I put this without it sounding like I'm, we are not separate individual creators of anything. And when that's spoken and it's taken up by a mind already entangled in that belief, it becomes like an intellectual conundrum, a philosophical conundrum. And in some sense, that's why it doesn't help in many ways to kind of frame it that way. So let me put it in a way that I feel is more appropriate. And also, you know, getting back to the idea of the way shamanism works and the way the shamanic medicines offer up these viewpoints on reality, what I've noticed is actually what I was always seeing was that life literally never goes anywhere except where it goes. And this process of life, existence, being spontaneously, always spontaneously unfolding from moment to moment, arising out of presence from moment to moment to moment to moment, always fresh, always spontaneous, always new to itself. That life knows not where it's going and has no need to possess any knowing of where it's going. But really within that spontaneity, within that incredible freshness, there arises this continuity, this appearance of continuity, and within it arises this sense that we call time, this thing that we perceive as time. And in many ways we treasure these perceptions and we treasure them, and take them to be absolutes, because it seems there's no other way that existence can actually manifest itself. And really, life goes its course naturally, simply, effortlessly, without any need for us to be at the helm. Now, that doesn't mean that as we come down into these, what seem to be these individual lives, there isn't the sense or the appearance or the viewpoint of us being able to have volition and move and shape the world as we would like it to be. And the appearance of us doing that, and the appearance of us creating the shape of our life, is so compelling. The imposition our senses place upon reality, the imposition of time and of space and of all of these things, are so compelling and seem so real and seem so impossible. It seems so impossible for there to really not be this thing called space, or not be this thing called time. And the reason that seems so impossible is that we can only live our lives in the unfolding of time, the appearance of time. We can only see these lives. We can only look upon and observe these lives within the context of time and space. And although that may be the case, that that these things are so compelling, it doesn't mean that they are true. And yet, really what I'm coming down to here is this question, life isn't going my way, it's not what I want. This question arises from a perspective that assumes, and I'm saying wrongly assumes, that we are responsible for the life that we seem to have. Now, when I use this word responsibility, I'm not using it like, you know, you're responsible for paying your bills, or you're responsible. You know, I'm really saying that we look around the universe, we look around our planet, we look around in our lives, and we see all of these things that seem to be unfolding before us, manifesting. We see nature, we see oceans moving and sweeping around the earth. We look up and we see stars circumnavigating the sky. We see clouds gaseously forming and morphing into all these different shapes and dispersing. And we assume, because they don't seem to be us, we assume that the thing that does seem to be like us is different from those things. So there is the assumption that this so-called human structure, this so-called human experience, is somehow separate from nature, is somehow separate from these other things that appear to be nothing to do with us. And yet, and this is something, like I said, that in a sense was always seen you know, on every shamanic journey I did. And in fact, you don't even need to go down the road of shamanic journey. It's always shown to us in every instant of our life that there is, that these lives are naturally manifesting in the same way that the rest of nature, everything is naturally manifesting. And the synapses firing and light flowing through, electricity flowing through the brain and blood flowing through the body, pumping the heart pumping blood through the body. When we begin to look at this, it can be seen that this is no different from the oceans or rivers or birdsong or foxes chatting in the night. You know, really, we are nature. There is no difference between us and nature. There isn't us and nature. We are nature. And therefore, our bodies and our brains and our minds are all nature. Everything is life, spontaneously arising, just really from, or for, no other reason than, you could say, the joy of arising, in whatever form that may take. So, in many ways, this question of wanting the life to be different arises from a viewpoint of believing that somehow we are marooned and separate in these minds and bodies, that these minds and bodies are something that we have been beamed into and are, despite what we may read or despite what we, even despite some of the experiences we may have, there's a fear created by believing that there is nothing but this mind and body. And beyond that, when this body goes and the mind will go with the brain, the death of the brain, that in a sense there is an annihilation is waiting for us. And these minute moments, snippets of time that we have on this planet are the totality of who we are. And really, if you think about it, there's no other way that could create. I mean, if you wanted to dream up something that would create incredible tension, it would be that. And somehow along the way of our arriving at self-consciousness, some consciousness of an existence, a body or a mind existing, and it being able to view itself, within that we've kind of inherited this somehow. I wouldn't even say we've inherited it. Somehow within that, this belief has manifested that we are the totality, or these lives are the totality of who we are. And we wrestle with them, and we struggle against this, because really we know that it's not true. And yet everything that we see seems to reinforce this threat that our lives can go wrong, that there is, that life itself, the very nature of life itself, can go wrong. And this sense that we have to make everything happen creates such enormous tension and is one of the roots of our unhappiness. And really what we do, you've only got to look at this whole thing of when life, if we look at our lives and we look at all of the times of how we've resisted, how we resist the possibility of these lives shattering, these lives falling apart, these things, these beliefs that we have falling apart, and how utterly terrifying it can seem. And yet when we look at nature, that's all, nature's always birthing itself and then disintegrating and falling down, falling back into itself and rebirthing. It's always this process going on, this constant renewal and regeneration of itself. Life is constantly renewing. There is only life renewing itself into ever infinite forms. And there's no end to the forms in which it can manifest itself. There's no end to the thoughts that could arise. There's no limit to what may manifest spontaneously in this energetic form, this thing we call energy that we know, don't even know what energy is. Yet we do know what it is. We know it's us. But we know that really that energy arises out of us. We all know that. Because we all know that there's a part of us that never changes. And it's that part of us that, it's a deliciousness of never changing. It's not a stagnation. It's an ever-present wonder that all of this stuff, all of these ingredients, all of these mixtures arise out of completely spontaneously, without limit, without censorship, without the need for good or evil or right or wrong. They just happen, they just come. And really at the most fundamental level, you could say that if it's true that we are just these lives, these bodies and these minds, if that's true, then really there's nothing to be done about that. There really isn't anything to be done. Or there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that can be done about that, if that's true. And really, if we're not just these minds and these bodies, then there's no need to move towards doing it. There's no interest left to take control of this thing called life. Because it's seen that what we take to be us as a separate thing And even the feeling, the thought, the sensation, the whole spectrum of mind stuff that reinforces that is nature spontaneously weaving its patterns. And there's no need to move against that. There's no need to move against that, because there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that can be wrong with it. And as I was saying earlier, this notion of needing to somehow stop this process of ever regeneration and, you know, things breaking down, the constituent parts of things breaking down, and out of those, that breaking down and falling back into this soup of being and arising as something different. Our lives are always doing that. And really the belief that we are separate from nature, and the belief that we are marooned and stranded in these minds and bodies, makes us want to stop that breaking down. It makes that whole process of this constant flux and this constant renewal, it creates that as something that is to be feared. It creates it as if that, as if our lives always shifting and becoming something new is something to be afraid of. And this sense that you can't, or life isn't doing what you want it to do, really, if life was to do what we wanted and to always give us on cue what we wanted when we wanted it, my God, what a nightmare that would be. That would be truly a hell if that were to be the case. And from the perspective of a mind that is entangled with the belief that it needs to orchestrate this whole life, all it sees is the need for it to do that. That's all that seems to be apparent to it. But really, the solution is literally just to ask, or to place your attention upon where that notion, where that sense, that real knot of wanting everything to be different, and the discomfort of wanting everything to be different, what does that arise in? Where is it? What is that housed in? What does that fall back into? And really, when you start to look at your life, you'll see that there's no way of stabilizing anything in life. And we may have some illusions or delusions that we can create this thing called stability. And again, from a mind that is awash with the belief that life is dangerous and life is wrong, all of that, all you would ever want to do would be to try and stop this ever moving flux. But really, when you're attention is rooted not in the flux, but in the spaciousness or the sense of existence from which, in which that flux is registered and known and seen and experienced, then what you'll notice is that you become fascinated with the shapes that your life creates. And the more fascinated you become with the shapes your life creates, and really looking at these patterns, these exquisite patterns that life, your life, creates, no matter what the life. I'm not talking about the life of someone who's a rock star or an astronaut or a quantum physicist, although the same applies for them. But even the most mundane of lives is an exquisite, beautiful, wondrous pattern weaving itself in ever unknown directions. When that is the case, then you can literally relax into your life. And when the life is relaxed into, and that sense that your life is not going where you want it to go, when that sense of wrongness is no longer the perfume of, or the scent of life, you see that there's no need to be afraid of your life. There's no need to grasp onto something that you feel isn't present in your life. And you see that, in a sense, that life, your life, however that life is unfolding, however, whatever shape that life is taking, doesn't actually touch the essence of your existence. There isn't anything that touches, anything in the realm of phenomena that touches that. And the way your attention becomes rooted in that is simply to notice it. There's nothing else that needs to happen except you noticing that sense of your own existence. And in many ways, I keep looking for different ways, probably just to hold my own attention and to hold other people's attention, to say that simple thing. And really, even though it may seem as if your life is awash with this anxiety, really the only thing that permeates your whole experience of life is that background radiance, as I often call it, that background radiance is all that's happening. And every experience that may appear separate from that is saturated by that. And as it comes and goes, we just see the afterglows of that radiance. So really every experience that we have is pointing to that truth, is leading us to that truth, is inviting us to see that there is nothing other than that existence, that beauty of existence, naturally unraveling. And really the thing that I suppose, you know, if we look at beliefs, for example, when you look at a belief, it seems that a belief is so real that it has such substance, that it has such validity. But just look at it. How important, or where are the beliefs that you had when you were 10 or 15 or 20, or as we go older, 25 or 30, 35, 40, when you're 70, what are the beliefs that you had when you were 30? And really, when you delve into this, you know, we discard our beliefs. We abandon them. You know, we have almost abandoned beliefs in the same way that we abandon old televisions in our culture, or rusty cars, or things that were once so bright and shining and new and contained such promise, and we thought gave us so much. As soon as the next model comes in, our eyes and our attention is focused on the next one, and those skips and dumps are full of yesterday's beliefs. And when it can be seen that these things that we place such value on, and we place such enormous amount of energy into, are just natural arisings and fallings away, and they are part of that flux of life. So really the shamanic journey, the shamanic medicine, really just comes back down to that. That all of the realm of trying to manipulate life and make life do things that you want, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no move in me against that, except there's no interest in that whole world of trying to put things to right or get something from life that I didn't feel, that I don't feel it's already giving me. Life, right at this moment, you are present and receiving the entirety of existence. You are receiving the entirety of existence. The entirety of all existence is right now what you are receiving. What you are present to. What is happening for you now is the absolute totality of existence. This experience that you are having now, this experience of your life, and maybe the experience of you turning your attention towards that feeling of existence, that raw feeling of existence, the mechanism of that, the feeling of you doing that, is what the totality of all existence feels like. And what the totality of all existence is doing. So really you don't need any special skills or special talents or special gifts. You know, special things can be useful sometimes. But really to see this message and gain the benefit from this, it's important to realize that you don't need to possess anything other than your life. And even when I say possess your life, that immediately, the mind will immediately go off and create a picture about possessing. Really, you don't need anything other than your existence, the fact that you exist. That's all you need in order to be privy to the entire reality. No matter what thoughts, no matter what counter thoughts or reactions you may have to that, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change the fact that you are in this very moment the entirety of everything. And there is no force on earth that can take that away from you. No force in the universe that can take that away. It can never be removed. It's always the case. You know? And I suppose that, you know, this, getting back to this promise of life and believing that somehow there's a broken promise in our lives, you know, creates such enormous tension. And really, what I invite you to do is to just initiate that process of relaxing into the life, relaxing into your life. You know, you will see what needs to happen purely by looking at what's happening. You don't need to. Now, that doesn't mean that a plan for you to create more wealth, or a plan for you to, a strategy for you to, or for you to look for a strategy to be healthier and more vital and more responsive to things in your life, won't happen. But you see, that is happening spontaneously and naturally. That is life happening spontaneously and naturally, prior to any thought or belief that will happen anyway, if it's going to happen. And really, we have so little to say about the course of our lives. We have so little to say about it. And the tremendous anxiety that we face when we see these lives not doing what we want them to do, when we see the possibility of these lives collapsing or falling apart, and our compulsion to try and stabilize ourselves in this life, or the compulsion to try and move against this natural flow. You see, all of that arises in our minds that are already distorted by this core belief that we are separate from the divine, I suppose. I mean, you could say that. Separate from nature, separate from the mind of God, whatever you want to call it. That is at the root of the distortion. And really, what, you know, whatever we do within the life, whatever happens within the life, doesn't have the effect of altering the natural flow of life. Although sometimes it seems as if that might be the case. So really, what I'm offering here is an invitation for you to relax fully into your life and to see the amazing quality of existence is ever present in your life as it is, without need for modification, without need for restructuring or refinancing or re-anything. It can be observed that there is actually a softness to existence, a real softness to existence. Your life arises so effortlessly. Whatever experience arises, the actual experience arises without any force. It arises out of existence, out of your own existence. Now, your own existence, that core of existence that is you, doesn't force life out of itself, doesn't force anything out of itself. Everything just flows naturally, spontaneously, freely, unconditionally, from this essence of being. And really, there's no what's amazing ultimately is that when this softness, this real softness, is just located, you notice that softness is your own existence. It's so soft, and it's so loving. It's so giving. It never refuses to give. It's so generous. You know, when you just take a moment to notice that. What seems to happen is that that tangled knot of the mind believing that it needs to have a different housing for its life, its existence, falls away. That sense of terror of looking at a life that isn't going where you want it to go simply falls away. And in that falling away, the life is seen as its own realization. There isn't a realization somewhere else. There isn't enlightenment somewhere else. Everything is enlightened already. There's no journey to. There isn't a space between you and the radiance of existence. There is no space between you and the wonder of life. So, really, because of that, this sense of needing to possess some extra power or some extra ability or talent or skill to mold and shape the life doesn't arise, because the life does that anyway. And if it does arise, then that's what will happen. But it doesn't need anything separate from existence mediating that. And really, because when you start to just fall into that softness, you see at the core of every experience sits just that softness, that real embracing of everything. Just there it is. So you see that every experience, at the core, at the root of everything that's experienced, sits the truth. And this may sometimes even be difficult for us to accept, that in the shattering, the falling apart of our lives sits the truth. In the pit of that falling apart waits the truth. And I say this very clearly in the book, The Guiding Principle. I say this very clearly, that this, it's as if freedom, love, God, the divine wonder will wait forever for us to touch it, for its own discovery, more accurately. It will wait forever in a pit of sorrow, or it will wait forever in the throes of ecstatic bliss. It has no preference for where it is touched. It has no predisposition for where it is seen, where it is known, where it is felt. And yet, we assume that through mainly the conditioning of our kind of spiritual aspirations, the way our cultural, religious, and in our modern times, even the way our sort of metaphysical, quasi quantum physical, quantum physics way of looking at things, sort of has this truth, this softness, this ever acceptance, this freedom kind of housed in the more wondrous experiences or the more exuberant, blissful experiences, as if, but actually the truth is that it's everywhere, and it is never not apparent, it is never not seen, it is always blatantly there, waiting for its own recognition. So just now in this moment, just notice the real delicate softness of your own existence. That noticing is the antidote for that opening question. It's the antidote for a life that doesn't seem to be delivering the promise. It's the antidote for a life that is somehow frittering away and being wasted. It's a life, it's an antidote for the missed opportunities, the unrequited love, the pain of losing. It's an antidote for all of the beliefs that would have us anything, that would say that we are anything other than that existence, ever present, infinite, radiant, realized, enlightened existence, the totality of reality, the totality of everything in this instant, without need of mediation or anything added to it. In that, anything could really happen. And that's not like a kind of Disney anything could happen, although potentially I suppose anything could happen, but really it is that thing of not needing the kind of Disney slant on things, you know, sorry if you're a fan of Disney, but really you don't need that. You don't need to look at your life as a mistake. And this natural unfolding of your life, the life going where life goes, you will see that when you are noticing the delicious softness of your own existence, the real quality of existence, the base quality of existence, then you will see the wondrous patterns that your life creates. And you will see that those patterns are spontaneous and fresh and always alive with that same radiance. And you will look at your life and it will be the same life, except it will be different. The same life, you know, the lives that we would throw in the garbage can suddenly are seen as the wonders that they are. Because these lives are seen as this ever-shifting, moving, unfolding trace, afterglow of existence. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to listen. I so appreciate your energy and your attention. And really, the invitation is always simply the same: to notice the amazing quality of your own existence. And it is that noticing that takes care of everything.
You've been listening to a Guiding Principle podcast with David DeAngelis. For more information, please visit www.theguidingprinciple.com.